Welcome to episode 33 of the Well-Rounded Wealth Podcast. Patrick, we have not talked in a while, so I'm very excited to talk to you again. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Doing good. Excited to be back talking about life and changes and opinions and progressions on things. We kind of skipped a week last week and I was stuck in the spreadsheets. I'll put it that way.
I was very busy too, starting a new job. So we took an off week and that's okay.
Yeah. And we're back at it, but I'm excited to hear your updates and, get into what has been changing in your life and career and, kind of your thoughts on it. So let's do it.
All right. Yeah, absolutely. I'll start off on my update for you. And I know a big topic we want to talk about today. I started a corporate job a couple weeks ago. I'm about two and a half weeks in now. And it's been very interesting so far. I haven't gotten to talk to you about it at all. I'm technically a temp right now. It's like a temp to permanent type of thing. So I'll be a temp for 2 months or so. And if they like me and want to keep me around, then it'll be like a full-time offer is kind of the gig at the moment.
Got it. And what exactly are you doing in that?
Yeah. So my job title is that I'm an HR coordinator for an engineering company. And basically I'm part of a team. We're called like the HR Hub. So it's a really big company, like 30,000 big company. And we are like the HR hub of it all. So like we have HR business partners that are like in person and, you know, the offices and all that stuff all around the country and or globe. But basically anytime people are on their websites doing like service tickets, service inquiries, and like hit that send to HR button, it's our team that gets those. So we kind of start the process of like doing paperworks or like, if people are offboarding, I'm mainly in offboarding. So if someone put in their 2 weeks, then we get a notification from their manager and then we have to start compiling all of their like official company exit documents and send them like an official exit letter of like, hey, like here's all the official stuff that you have to do.
You're gone. No, I'm kidding.
And then that's pretty much the gist. So like all of my job is like I'm on a computer and I'm basically adding service tickets into a tracker on Excel. And then we're updating that process on the tracker so we know where they are throughout the week or 2 weeks, depending on how early something comes in. And pretty much just going through that motion and making sure all the steps are handled appropriately and legally. And that's pretty much what I've been doing so far. It's been quite the learning curve. Not that it's been hard, but more tedious because it's systems that you're not familiar with, like websites you've never used before, things that you just don't know where things are. So, I mean, I've been training and I guess I kind of technically still am in training. I'm not doing like training meetings with the girl who's been training me anymore, but I still have so many questions because things come up that I haven't seen before because I've only barely been around. But I feel like once I finally cross that barrier and understand what to do when tickets come up and like, yeah, okay, I know this process, I know what to do, then it's just going to become like just mindless
like clockwork.
Typing work, mindless clockwork, and just grind.
So, okay, this is interesting because I know that the kind of talk we want to have is pros and cons of corporate life and I guess corporate work culture. But I want to dive into what is your perception of the people that you're working with and the overall energy you get from them.
So first and foremost, everyone seems really nice there. Everyone seems kind. The girl who's been training me, her name's Caroline. She's been nothing but super helpful and kind and patient. And I know it takes time out of her day when it's, you know, on top of like her work, she's also got to like set training meetings with me and constantly answer my questions. So like kudos to her. She's been great. Energy is low overall. Like energy is very, very low. And that was kind of a surprise-ish to me. The biggest thing is the meetings. So we have like once a week full meetings with everybody, and then once a week meetings with like just our departments. Mm-hmm. It's mainly just the manager talking and everyone just kind of nodding along.
Oh.
And like,
oh boy.
and she's fantastic. Really great, actually. I really like her a lot. She seems awesome. Like sometimes she'll like say something, like almost just like something to like kind of get us involved, like something light, and people will just kind of like smile, like, huh, or do like a huh. And then that's it. And then she's like, okay, moving on like to the next thing. So like, it's just so funny because like things are like a little awkward. You know what it reminds me of in these meetings? It's when you're in class and the professor stops lecturing and then he's like, any questions?
And everyone pays attention and they're like, oh shit, no one, what was he talking about?
And no like, one, uh-huh, yeah, no yeah. one, and no one says anything. And the professor like is also feeling the awkward tension. So he just kind of cuts it and moves on. It's like, it's just, you know, that like
those
that small.
Worst.
Yeah. And, it's, I feel that energy heavily and it really and cracks me up.
Three people are in the back of the class sleeping or doodling and drooling. You got one kid playing spitball with another buddy in the front of the row.
Yeah, and like it's not to that degree by any means. It is very professional, and like people are sitting there and listening, but sometimes there's just not much to say. it's almost like it's a meeting, but it's more of just an update. So like you can really get away with just kind of nodding along and not really saying anything. Cause like, you know, unless there's like a problem or something that needs to be addressed, like there's not much for any of us to add.
Yep.
I can also tell on her, and she feels weird, like being the only person talking that much, you know, and, like, which is so normal and natural.
Yeah. I'd feel so weird. So do you like that, or what are the pros and cons of it? And yeah, like, do you, you yourself, do you enjoy that kind of balance? Like, actually, I guess first go into the pros and cons, and then do the pros outweigh the cons for you.
Okay. What, in this job experience as a whole, or like the specific meeting example I just gave?
Just like the meeting example, or like how the day-to-day interaction goes.
I mean, the pros, I would say, like, it's pleasant. Like, you know, it's not like people are like chirping each other or anything like that, or there's definitely no negative energy going around, so that's definitely a pro of it. I think another pro is that, and this is specific to my job, we're kind of all on a team, and like we have like different, like some people are doing onboarding or offboarding and have like a little bit of different roles, but you're never, someone else is doing the same thing as you, and then we divide up work like through market sector. So like everyone's assigned different people because one person dealing with an entire company that's like 30,000 people, it's just not going to happen, at least in a time appropriate manner that the company wants things to go through. It's just impossible with that many people. Yeah. So I like that we're kind of all like doing the same thing, and it does open that door for collaboration, because if you have a question, someone can definitely answer it because it's also their job. So I would say that's definitely another pro. Then I would say, to get into almost like a con of that, then it almost feels like there's a lack of like community in the office. And by that, I mean, like, there's not like, oh, like these people are, they're doing sales and the accountants are over here and the marketing team, like they're on this floor. Like we're all doing the same thing. So like it kind of, it's less of a community because of that. Cause like, I feel like at least from stories I've heard from other people, there is kind of like a work culture in the office. Cause like you can talk to people that like, you can just kind of like become friends with, like if you're in the break room or something like that, because that's the only time you're not interacting with them when you're doing your job, but you are interacting with them because you work for the same company or in the same office. So like, I think it would be cool to kind of have more of that, just more like, oh, like there's, here are some different gears over here. But we're all part of community because together we all have the same goal.
yeah, cross-pollination between groups to see how it moves the company forward.
Yes, exactly. Like I would say it might feel, I mean, it feels fine right now, but like it could be more isolating in the future. Just being like, oh, like we're just HR. Like we're not, there's no one else that's doing other things for the company around. There are some on the floor above of us, but like, you know, I haven't introduced myself to like any of them yet gotten the chance to.
I think it's really important, and I think it's a flaw of a lot of companies that they don't show people how they impact the business. It's like as humans, we want to, you know, we want to strive to something. Like we want to have that. I think that energy comes from being able to build something or work towards something greater than ourselves but a greater purpose or project. And it doesn't have to be philanthropic or anything like that. But like, even if it's the engineering firm, it's like, oh my gosh, we're building whatever skyscraper. It's like, okay, how do you play a part in that? And I think that even if someone like on the lowest level, like take a laborer who's just like organizing people and putting them in place, versus like a manager who's overseeing the entire project. It's like, okay, how do you support this from concept to completion? Because I think that is the rewarding part of the transition with building teams.
Yeah, definitely. I think also, I'm basically making the same point, but using an example, you know, even if you're at an entry level position, no matter what industry you go into, it's definitely cool to have that realization that if I didn't show up to work tomorrow, there would be things that wouldn't get done, and therefore it would affect everybody. And that makes you kind of feel like I am a piece of a puzzle and a necessary piece of a puzzle. So what I'm doing is important for keeping everything together, even if you're not, you know, the head of everything calling all the final shots. You still, it's still important that you're doing what you're doing so that everything else can go smoothly, and that, yeah, exactly. Like you feel like a part of a ripple effect. And if your ripple doesn't go off, then the other areas of the machine that won't be affected.
Yeah. I think that's, I'm sure it's a lot harder in bigger companies. Like I've been, even though I started more corporate world with at like Bank of America, the investment side was a lot more niche and fast paced moving. It's like, all right, you might have a deal team of five, and you know from beginning to end how that's moving the balance sheet for the company or the income statement for the company. And then I kind of went to more smaller teams to like grow other businesses. From my experience, I've seen people's eyes light up where it's like, oh my God, okay, I need to do it. It's not only you just doing your job, it's like I need to do a good job at what I'm supposed to do because other people are relying on me for it. So
yeah, totally.
It's creating the accountability portion of it.
Yeah. And for my example of right now, I'm really excited to get my own sector to be in charge of, because right now I'm kind of just helping Caroline, the girl who's been training me, like helping her on her sections, which is it's exactly what I should be doing right now, because I just don't have enough training to like be in charge of something on my own. I don't know everything yet that I would need to know to even start a beginner level.
Yep.
But once I get that, I'm excited to get that and be ready for it, because then it's like, that's my responsibility. Now, if I don't show up, that's an entire sector that's unaccounted for that day. And it would be an issue. Like that whole sector is relying on me and the HRBPs that are in the office for me to get the paperwork done that needs to be done. Cause if I don't, then there are delays and there are consequences if things are not done properly or in time.
I have an interesting question for you. So everyone's different. Everyone enjoys everyone does what they do for a reason in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people that like kind of get some of these back office jobs, or even call it like municipality jobs, like they do it for the stableness of it, which there's nothing wrong with. Like some people need that. For you, how quickly, if you think you can, do you think that you would be able to take a team under your wing and is that something you'd want to do?
It'd be a while. It'd be a long while before that would happen. So I'm not even thinking that far down the line. Cause even I am liking it so far, but it's not my long-term goal to like work my way up higher and higher in this company. Could that change? Who knows? But I would say at the moment, no, it sounds cool. And if this was what I wanted to do and this is where I stay or like where I would decide to stay, absolutely. Like I would not just want to stay stagnant.
Mm.
But yeah, the main reason I did it, because I maybe some people that do listen and know that I've been doing acting stuff and after that I might be taken aback that I have a corporate job. I mean, it's what you said. It's the stability. Like I needed it. I really needed it. At least for the time being. And I mean, to go to another pro, it's been nice so far. Just really knowing where the next paycheck is coming, knowing how much it's going to be so I can budget my month properly. That's mm-hmm. definitely a pro. There's no doubt about it. It's absolutely a pro. So yeah, it takes some worry away on that end. This past week, I kind of realized I relaxed. Like I wasn't waking up stressed in the morning, which I've woken up plenty of mornings just already stressed. So I'm like, okay, so that's definitely been a very nice part of it. Cause that's been a struggle so far. Like I don't regret any of the decisions I've made in the past year and I don't regret the struggle, but it's been a struggle for sure. And it gets tiring. So that's definitely a pro for the time being, is just to kind of wake up and just know what the job I'm going to is and what my responsibilities are. I know exactly what's expected of me. That's been great. That's because when I know that too, I'm doing it. Like I know what if I feel comfortable, I know what I'm doing. Yep. I know what must be done. So I'm full steam ahead. So that's definitely been nice.
So you did this for stability, which I think is a great thing to have in certain parts of your life, because otherwise, like you said, you're just going to wake up stressed.
Yeah.
Especially. How are you using it? How are you using the stability to challenge yourself in other areas?
So that's honestly like what I'm starting to lean into now, because it's been like 2 weeks. So I am like, right now I'm like, okay, my focus now is get good at this and understand things, pay attention, learn and do, execute so I can get comfortable in this job and stable and doing the responsibilities. Like I never want to be in the office and have a reason of stress being, I don't know what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a terrible reason to have stress at the job. So I want to get through that. I want to learn everything properly and diligently and as quickly as I can. And I think I've been doing a good job with that. So then I can move past that. Like the work itself will not be stressful because I know what to do and then I'll be good. The only stress that I would welcome is just, you know, a lot of work on a lot of things on your plate, because that's just going to happen. That's out of your control. That's not a stress that bothers me, but a stress that does bother me is just being in the weeds and not knowing what I need to be doing. That freaks me out. So I just want to have that down.
Welcome to my world. Yeah, I get it.
I'll break into, I don't want like, you know, pros and cons. One thing that I noticed, so here's something about my schedule. I'm only in the office twice a week. I'm in the office Tuesdays and Wednesdays. So Monday, Thursday, Friday, I'm work from home. And then with the 4th of July week, we worked from home that entire week. So I basically did one day in the office and did not go in person to the office for 2 weeks. So like that definitely... And once I get good at it and know what to do and don't have to be like, you know, like chatting people on Teams for questions, that sounds like a great schedule. But for being new and for coming in, I would love to be in the office as much as possible. Just like I can actually talk to people about stuff that's going on. Yeah. But I've also noticed that I think a lot of people in the office have gotten used to that work from home environment. And by that, I mean in the office, like it's just almost like silence. Like I think people work in the office the same way they work at home. Like they're just sitting at their computer, like doing everything through their computer because you can. But then when you're in the office, you're doing the exact same thing. So there's like not a lot of commotion in the office at all. So my second day walk in the office, 2 days after the first time I walked, 2 weeks after the first time I went to the office, I like walked in and people are at their desk and I kind of like rose my hand to like say hi and no one even looked up.
Dude. Oh, I'd be like, yo, people.
I literally like kind of rose my hand to like wave and then just looked around. No one was acknowledging that like I walked in and was saying hi and I just like awkwardly put my hand down and just looked at my desk and just walked and sat down. It was brutal. It was brutal. And at first I was like, for a second, I was almost like getting my, I was like, are they just not a fan of me? And like, I'm still new. I don't even know. And then very quickly I was like, you know, a couple other people walked in and the same thing happened. Like no one acknowledged that the person walked in. So I'm like, this is just how it is.
Did your manager come in? Like, is she on the floor? And
she's only 1 day a week because she also she works out of another office as well.
So like, does the energy change when she comes or is it like,
I'll let you know next week.
that would be weird, honestly, if I walked in and didn't say hi to anyone. Like, does everyone know your name? Like, can they match a name to the face?
I would imagine so, because I'm like the only new person that's just come in. It's not like it's a huge office.
How many?
They know my name. They know my name. I know all their names. I haven't like individually talked to all of them, but just seeing their names on Microsoft Teams and stuff like that. I'm sure people are seeing my name that I'm logged in. They probably put together that the new guy's name is Jack. I'd imagine.
Yeah, should just walk in with the name, the big shirt, like I am Jack.
Yeah, but yeah, that like really threw me off, and you know, like I just think maybe one, it's just normal too. Like I don't know, maybe people just are a little awkward and just aren't used to it because like it's not like there's new people coming in every day. But I kind of like realized, was like, all right, I got to put my foot forward and I just got to say hi to people. This is what I got. If I want to be talking to people, I clearly have to start it.
If I were you, like, I know this is it's a state stability job to help you with your other goals.
Mm-hmm.
When I go in, I would just try to be the person that changes the energy in that room. Like I'm going in 2 times a week and I'm like, all right, how do I make people talk to each other? Because this is nuts. Like we're humans and we can do our work probably pretty quickly. Like let's get a mini hoop in there, a putt-putt little thing, or like bring a scooter in one day.
I know. Like I also just don't, I'm also still so new. Like I don't know like what I'm almost like, are we allowed to talk? I know we are, but I'm just like, is there just like an unspoken rule that like we shouldn't bug each other while we're working? Like I just don't know. I'm just still new.
I get that. But here's the thing. I would be like, don't fall into what everyone else is already doing. Cause I guarantee you no one else likes it.
I think you're right.
I'm sure everyone else who's walked in has been like, all right, this is weird too, but I guess I just don't talk to anyone. Like, all right, fine.
Yeah. Like, dude, I mean, nothing kills energy more than walking into a place where you're about to spend the next 8 hours and just not being acknowledged.
Yeah, dude. Like, that would be weird.
It was weird. It was weird as hell. I think I texted my mom and I was like, this morning's been weird. Something like that. I don't know if it was my mom or not.
Like if you left midday, would anyone say anything?
Probably not.
Dude. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I don't think that's healthy, one, but also I'm like,
and like when we take lunch, it's not like, you know, I just got up and left and ate my lunch. There was never like, all right, taking lunch.
No one else did that. No one was like, hey, you want to grab lunch or anything like that?
No, not really.
Yeah. That's my goal for you. Change the environment of that office. And it's like, ignorance is bliss. If someone comes and asks you like, what the hell are you doing bringing a mini hoop in? It's like, dude, this place is dead. Look around. Yeah. Like, that's why. So.
Yeah, I might hold on the mini hoop idea.
Oh, yeah. You know, you get what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying for sure.
You come in and like, hey, John, or not John, whatever, Jackie, hold this up behind Bob. Boom. Good morning, Bob. How you doing? Get dunked on.
You know who I should actually go to with for advice is my dad, because yeah. I know he's all about bringing high energy to the office and like. He would tell me stories like it's also helpful that like I know at least his first company, like he went in with a bunch of people his age. So he said like, you know, like having fun and joking around in the office was like what he did. And he said that's definitely the most important part of it. So I should ask him for advice on what he would do in my situation, because I'm sure he'd have answers. He always has like ideas to just like bring some positivity and fun energy to it.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, I was talking to my dad last night because my dad is looking for a new job now. And he was telling me stories about, he used to work at a U.S. Smokeless Tobacco, Skoll, which was, mm-hmm. Imagine working at a tobacco company back in like the early 2000s. He was telling me some wild things. But I think the corporate culture back then it sounded so much better because they would just play pranks on each other. Like there would be a lively office environment. Like people are working towards the same things. And I'm sure it's not like that every day, but it's not everyone droning away, staring at computers. It's like one, they're right next to each other. They can't just be like teams, like ping you. It's more like, hey, Jack, need help with this. Can you look at this? Like, and it's just ancillary conversations that are created through interacting with people in person.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure that's still around in a lot of places, but I'm also a big bet I would make is that there are plenty of places that have adopted the energy that the place I have started working at has adopted as well.
Yeah. I think finding a way to incentivize participation in some type of community is so important in this day and age. I've been talking to a few buddies about an app idea. I'm not sure if you've seen like all these run clubs or like fitness clubs or like pickleball clubs, like being super trendy lately.
Yeah, I have.
Yeah. So, actually a girl at the gym, she mentioned this. She's like, I'm trying to get into running so I can go to a run club and meet a boyfriend. I was like, wow, that's interesting.
that's a very interesting reason to want to do that.
And
she is, are runners her type, I guess? You don't
know. No, just fit people. Like,
okay,
so
I see.
The app idea is, and I don't have a name for it yet, but a social component behind active extracurricular community events. So a lot of these run clubs are just, you know, they build an Instagram page. It's like, hey, like there's one in Charlotte, Morning Miles Run Club, meet at this coffee shop at 6 a.m. and we run 4 miles. But everyone's just on Instagram. But and they started 5 weeks ago and they have 2,000 followers and some sponsorship stuff already from local companies. And that kind of stuff, I think the way you build it is, you know, you create your community group. So say this run club, and the community organizer creates the event or club. People can join the club, but they can't see who is actually like in the club until they actually go to an event. So,
okay.
So say I start this run club, Jack is like, oh, I want to go run at Thursday at 6 a.m. and meet a bunch of people. You actually have to go and run before you can join the group. And you have to like check in and be like, and it incentivizes you to meet people by actually doing the activity, which is the reverse aspect of, you know, Instagram, where you can just cold DM anyone. So something like that in the corporate office would be interesting.
I agree. That's super interesting. It's funny, like I kind of do that in like my acting for that community, because I'm not, mm-hmm. I'm just signing up for class and I'm doing the class and then the people come in from when I'm meeting them.
Yeah. I think this could be applied to, you know, like any type of extracurricular. I mean, it could be pickleball, it could be running, it could be acting, it could be dance, it could be whatever it is. It's just, there's someone who's organizing a group and they're like-minded people that have similar interests that want to be involved in it. And they want to meet people through that, as opposed to just following a Facebook group and being like, oh, I'm friends with Karen. It's like, you've never met Karen.
Gotcha. Well, so
we're Facebook friends.
So you can join the group, but to like really be in it, you have to get out there and meet the group.
Yeah. You can join the group to see if there's any information about it in terms of like where to go, or maybe, okay, you know, contact the group organizer. So there's no limit to joining. Like, you know, Facebook groups, they have moderators who allow you to join or not join.
Yeah.
There's no moderation on who can join the group, because all you're doing
when you join the access.
Yeah. All you're doing when you join the group is figuring out what information is for where the group, you know, meets or whatever. Because all these communities, they are all built around doing something extracurricular, not online. So it incentivizes people to go because it, you know, tracks your location. When you check into that place or when you check into the group event, then you get access. It's like, oh my God, Jack and Cole and Will and all these other people are part of this group too. It's like, all right, let's ping them and, you know, let's practice our acting skills on Tuesday instead of Thursday together.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. I think that's awesome. And that's honestly like probably – so far being in Atlanta, that's probably the best way I've met people is just by going to acting classes. Cause then boom, you know, you both like acting, like, you know, so everyone already knows they have that in common. And then you're just doing it. And then all of a sudden, like, you just start talking to each other. It's been like probably the most organic way I've like met people so far easily.
Yeah, I know. And I think it applies to like dating too. Where do you find someone that you really enjoy spending time with? It's like usually doing stuff that you enjoy doing. And it's like, oh my gosh, this person also enjoys doing this. So that was actually like the whole girl who wants to get into running because she wants fun. A fitness boyfriend. It's like, all right.
So basically you heard this girl's story and you were like, that's incorrect. This needs to change.
No, I was like, well, I've seen the trend of all the run groups because obviously I run a little bit and there's just no way to like really create a good community around it besides on Facebook. But you know, mm-hmm. anyone can join a Facebook group. Doesn't mean they have to participate. The whole premise behind this is you want to get people to participate because so many people are stuck on their phones or on their laptops and they're afraid to go out and meet people. I mean, even take like the Hinge or Tinder model. It's you know, there might be a dating component to this app, but Hinge or Tinder, one, you don't know what they like or what they enjoy. And two, like who knows if you're going to get catfished or who knows if they're gonna
it's there definitely always does feel like a weird risk factor on the dating apps. I've like learned that I don't really like the dating apps, and apparently studies have shown that a lot of people our age don't, because they're not doing well currently.
I don't think
Tinder's had a huge loss. No one really likes them. They can work. I just met a couple the other weekend and they met on Tinder. And they seem like they're for the long haul. So like, it can work. But I agree. I feel like a lot of us just have a natural inclination to meet people in a more organic fashion and are kind of being turned off by this like click yes or no based on picture one of this person and one line of dialogue that you can read on their page. You can chuck a lot of information on there. I'm not saying that like it's not like good for that. You can learn a lot about someone, but also it's just the whole like, you also know that people are putting on their bios what they think is going to work and what's going to attract somebody. So there's that whole game too. So like, mm-hmm. you just don't know how authentic someone's profile really is. So it's like a weird thing. And honestly, like I don't even know what's on my profile anymore, but I bet if I looked at it, there would be a ton of stuff I'd want to change, or that I'm like, no, that doesn't really represent me. That's just like what I thought was a good representation of me. I'm sure.
Exactly. Yeah. You highlight your best, but yeah, I think it's so much more liberating meeting someone and getting to know them for who they are.
Totally.
Like then you're not, hey, this is my highlight reel. And like, I also come with all this shit behind it. It's like, if I meet Jack at an acting class, it's like, oh, Jack's doing something he really enjoys. I get to see something he's passionate about. And like, he's just being him because he enjoys doing this. And I'm sure there's people that will go out there to, you know, like this girl to find, to find her runner boyfriend. But I think it's more of centered around the community of incentivizing people to gather around likes and interests.
Yeah, I'm just imagining right now, like someone showing up to an acting class and just being like, nah, man, I'm just here for the chicks. I will say this, in my environments, like in my classes I've been into, that would be sniffed out immediately. Like everyone is there to act.
Yeah,
like it would be very awkward if you could just tell someone was just like hitting on the girls and didn't even really care about the class. Dude, that should be like, oh, that could be like a sketch comedy. I was thinking of doing an original scene that I wrote with that specific girl over there.
Who's the hottest girl in class? Oh, looks like you're coming with me.
Oh, that's so funny. That could be like in a comedy show.
You should write it.
I should. That'd actually be like really funny. I might
just do a little sitcom. The guy who goes to these community events to hit on people.
That's like did you ever watch How I Met Your Mother? Did you ever see that one?
I've seen clips of it.
You know the Neil Patrick Harris character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like that's so something that character would do. I mean, that was basically his shtick.
Yeah, I think I saw a clip of him. It's like, hey, why do you always go to the gym, or like the front lobby of the gym? It's like, I'm investing. It's like, what are you investing? Yeah, and he just like starts complimenting girls left and right, like, look great. And it's like, see, man, 5 years from now, or whatever, 5 months from now, when she's fit. Investment.
There was one, this was like early in the series, but like he asks his friend to go to the airport with him to pick someone up, and they get to the airport and he's like, all right, so here's the plan. And the guy's like, oh, like you're at the airport to pick someone up? Like there's no one, you know. You're just trying to meet girls here. So you like he drops some luggage and like the luggage return, and like just subtly, and then whenever he sees a girl going to get her luggage, he would go to get his luggage to like talk to her and be like, oh, where are you coming from?
Oh my god, honestly, kudos, that's pretty fucking smart.
It's really funny. Oh my god, no, that character would really entertain you. Neil Patrick Harris did a great job. Like he killed it in that role. It is so funny.
I'm just trying
also to like it's one of those shows because it started in 2005. There are stuff that character did in that show that there's no way would be aired on NBC today. Just like the comments he would make about women. I mean, he is just, his character is that he's misogynistic, and they don't act like it's great. Like they acknowledge that like his behavior is not really acceptable. But they I just don't even think they would do it.
Quick.
Yeah, I don't even think they would touch that anymore.
Probably not on a Prime TV channel now, but I'm sure you could make like a Netflix show about it.
That's very true.
Actually, I don't know. Netflix has been interesting too.
Did you see the roast of Tom Brady by chance?
Oh my god, that was fucking hilarious. I watched the whole thing.
I watched the entire thing. But no, a lot of people were saying like the pendulum's starting to swing back the other way with that, because that's apparently been the most watched thing on Netflix this year.
Oh, wow.
So like the people have spoken, that like, no, we like this edgy humor. We like this edgy, not PC humor. So I think that opened the door for a lot of stuff to get through. I think it is too. Shane Gillis' tire show. I saw some of that and it was definitely pretty.
He's hilarious.
He's really funny, man. I love the way he rides the political line like no one I've ever seen. Like, I think both sides think he's really funny, and that is really hard to do, especially when some of your jokes are political. And but both sides really like him.
Did you see his Netflix special?
Yeah. Yeah, it was so funny.
It was so funny.
It was hilarious.
I love the one where it's like when your girlfriend's ex is a Marine, it's like, they're really just pussies. I'm like,
they're all just like sneaking around and shit. Yeah.
I'm like, if he's a real man, he'd just come up to him straight face to face and
like, no, it was actually that came out almost a year ago now. Did that came really? Out in September. Cause it was one of the first things I did move in here. Was me and Cole watched it in this apartment, and we were dying. We thought it was so funny.
That was a good one. Who's that? Who are the other comedians at the Tom Brady? Oh, Andrew Schultz. He does really good. And then who's the Tony? Kill Tony.
Tony Hitchcliffe. Yeah, Tony.
That guy's funny.
He went off. He crossed like every line. That like I didn't think was okay to cross anymore, and he did it all, and it was so funny, and everyone loved it. Like he did not get like any backlash for it,
dude.
It was sick.
Last. And he went last, which is hard. It's like
I think he went like near the end. He also didn't get a full slate. Did you notice that? Like he kind of starred in the stands, and he just kind of went up and did everyone one by one. Like he didn't have as long of a time slot as everyone else did. Yeah, apparently like. Netflix kind of like tried to he was gonna have a full slot, but then Netflix was like no, so there was some
edgy,
drama,
so
there.
That's restricted,
dude. He took
or Dana White. I love Dana White.
That was crazy.
he's just like, I don't give a fuck. I saw like a post interview about it. He's like, yeah, I'm definitely gonna do this. They're like, no, why would you do that? Like I can say what I want, America. It's like, what's up, you liberal fucks?
Dude, and it was dead. That joke did not get laughs.
Oh no, it did not hit. That didn't hit.
I knew it the second he said it, I was like, ah.
Everyone's there like, I'm gonna laugh at this one. Just yet.
It's also, it was just kind of weird because he called out like 50% of the country in the joke, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So like and that, just the, yeah. And the crowd that was there was probably, I would guess, more left wing with it being in SoFi in LA.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, that was not received too well. There's no doubt about it. I thought Nikki Glaser had the best set of the night. I thought she absolutely killed it. And then I checked out her special on HBO afterwards because it like dropped a week later, and it was funny. She dunked on short guys. I got dunked on so hard. Oh my god!
Like, what was an example? I got dunked on so hard.
She was like,
"Damn it, it's true."
She's like, she basically said like she's talking to the women of the audience, and she's like. She's like, if you're struggling to find a man, like an attractive guy, just find a short guy. Find the discount price. They have great faces. she's like, just make sure your Instagram photos are y'all sitting down and you'll look really good.
Oh, I was like, my God.
And I was just like, you bitch.
Call the short king's like.
I was like, she got, well, so her boyfriend is 5'7". So which was like why she started talking about it. And they are like in love and stuff. So,
oh, that's good. Well, kudos to him. Jesus Christ.
Patrick, I'm 5'7".
No. I mean, kudos to him as in like, cause she's taller.
She is.
That,
she's
right?
Like 5'9", I think.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Kudos to him because she's literally making fun of him.
He was there at the show. he was in the crowd.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Kudos to him.
And she was like, "And my boyfriend's so funny. Like, he is hilarious, you know, because like he has to be. He's so short." I was like, "God damn."
We'll give that a short, guys. Short guys got some. You're not short, though. I mean,
yeah.
Average.
But yeah, I guess I like.
You're not 5'7.
I'm 5'7, maybe 5'8.
Are you?
I'm like the upper 5'7, if we're going to get specific about it, but.
Yeah, round.
Yeah, up. Sure. Honestly, my ID when I was 21 years old is recorded as 5'7. So I say I'm 5'7. But I could be a little taller. Yeah.
Just wear some heels. <They're good.
laughs> It's gorgeous. But no, she did get me like introspective for a second because I was like, is that why like I act so goofy? Do I feel like I need to because of my height? Am I trying to compensate? I concluded no. I conclude because like I'm not like I don't even think of myself as like, oh, like I'm the funny guy of the crowd. I just like I think I'm definitely like a goofy guy, but I don't think I'm the guy who's like constantly like just trying to make people laugh and trying to have these epic one-liners.
Be Thomas.
Yeah, and he's good at it. That is a funny man. He's really funny. But yeah, corporate life.
Yeah, we're going on tangent.
No, I love it. It's going well so far. I'm not complaining by any means. I think it's cool. I think I'm more just wanting to go with the flow for a little bit. Because I just so have not been since I moved down here. So like I mean, definitely long term, like I'm still sticking with my acting. I actually started a new class. I just got out of it a couple hours ago. And it was specifically movement training. So like it was almost like a workout. Like it was less like working on scenes and stuff and like just literally like working on moving all of our muscle groups and like focusing in on them and just like reacting to our environment and reacting to each other. Just so your body is also just, you're in tune with everything and you're getting a natural reactive response because that is what acting is. Mm-hmm. So it kind of helps like your body just actively respond to things based on the energy around you rather than just your words and facial expressions, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It's very foreign.
I'm sure that's a huge caveat.
It's definitely... He described it. I was like, yeah, you nailed it. Like, we're definitely going into the unknown a little bit because it's just stuff it's training I've never received before. So I'm interested.
Yeah.
Am I slightly skeptical? Sure, but not really. I'm excited to see where it goes.
Cool. Yeah. And I think to wrap up the corporate side of that stuff too, I think it's important to have something that excites you.
I agree.
And not stability is good. In components of your life. And if that's what you need, like financially, do it. But if you do it at the expense of not having anything that excites you, that's where I think we plateau as humans. And you like look at I think a great example of this is like the French culture. Mm-hmm. Like they work, I don't know, 6 to 4 hours a day, like 4 days a week.
Bang.
And they do it so that they can just, you know, kind of chill and talk and have lunch with friends and whatnot. Like that society, that GDP, that economy is so stagnant. However, you know, there are other European countries that they work so that they can enjoy other parts of life. And then there's people here that do the same thing. It's like, I need to do this work so that I can sustain myself to do other things like play the piano or act or like what my Uber driver actually. This was a crazy story. So I was going, hopping on the flight to go to LA and my Uber driver, I was just talking to him. He's like, I'm an opera singer.
Wow.
Like, what? Like this dude was like, I would have guessed he worked in construction. I had a goatee, like big burly dude. He's like, yeah, I'm up. He's from Spartanburg. He's like, yeah, I'm just driving Uber so that I can like in between gigs for the opera. And I'm like, that's insane. And I ask him if he could, like, you know, sing me an opera song. And he's just like, yeah. Turns the radio off, and it's just like the car is like shaking because this dude's voice was like,
their insane. Voices are so freaking powerful. Was he a deep belty bass?
Yeah. Like he was, it was some Italian opera song. And I mean, geez, like that thing was, that was impressive.
That's really cool. That's really cool if that happened. I love that.
Yeah. Got a little opera show on the way to the airport.
Congrats to him.
Screw the radios. Spotify. What's that?
Dude, I've DoorDashed a bit in my life. And dude, I respect all DoorDash and Uber drivers so much because it is not fun. For me, like I would just be driving around, like dropping someone's food off, and I'm like, this was my contribution to society today, like giving this lazy guy his lunch from McDonald's. Piss me off. there's not much more I have to say.
find something that excites you. Find something that excites you. Gives you the energy, or bring the energy somewhere so that, you know, you're giving back and having people
feel. Yeah, and that's honestly a reason why I also pushed to get a job a little more corporate, a little more normal hours, because one, like I'm learning new things right now. So like just that idea that I have new things to learn and skills to acquire and things to master, that's got me going again, because I was doing a restaurant in the past, like for the last month or so. And I was getting so just drained, because there was no, I knew how to do everything. At this most recent job, I was not even serving at this one. I was food running, which I guess probably one of the best paying food runner gigs you could get in this area. The pay was really good for what the job was. But I was like, okay, I'm just going to go and give people their plates again. Cool. Like that was like literally my, and honestly, like that's an example. The culture was fantastic. Actually, of any restaurant job I've had, and I've probably had like four or five, best people, hands down. Everyone was so nice. It's so kind and cool, and chill. The boss was great. It was, culture was awesome there. And I still was just, like, this is what I'm doing today. Okay. And like I was losing my weekends. Like I was working Friday and Saturday nights, because that's when the big tip nights are, and I'm in the tip pool, so that's like where a lot of my money was coming from. So I was also like, that was another reason I did it, because I was like, I want my weekends back and I want to be doing something a little more challenging. So there was also that aspect. Yeah. Like yes, I was doing acting on top of it, but I still was like, I need a switch up, and I can still do focus on acting stuff while having this job. And so far I have. So that was why I made the decision, and overall I'm happy with it. We'll just see where it goes.
Yeah. I love it. It's optimizing for different parts of your life, I think, is the ultimate kind of play behind that. And, you know, sometimes there are moments where you do have to just sacrifice. Like you just have to eat shit.
Yeah. Yeah. There's that too.
Probably the best way to say it.
That I agree with. I thought about that as well. Like, you know, sometimes you gotta earn your stripes a little bit. Like I was in a fraternity, so like I always think of it in this aspect. It's like, well, if you want to reap the benefits, like you gotta do a little bit of pledging sometimes and do some grunt work sometimes. That's life. That's how it goes. You gotta earn your stripes. Can't just like walk in and expect to do exactly what you want to do and have everything handed to you. So yeah.
Love it. All right. Should we wrap it up?
I am down to wrap it up for sure.
All right. Well, message from this podcast, definitely bring the energy, and whatever you're doing, everyone's doing something for a reason, but find something that brings you energy and give energy.
Yeah.
To
next episode. I want to update you on how it goes. And if there's any more energy going on, because
if Jack dunked on his coworker,
maybe not dunking on the coworker, but yeah,
just bring the putt-putt in.
That would be fun. I bet some offices actually have that.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, I know, like, we, like, someone brought that in at Bank of America. So
yeah, there you go.
Yep. All right, cool. Well, great catching up. I know we didn't cover everything we wanted to, but I'll have to fill you in on the LA trip.
Yeah, totally.
More stuff we got going on too. So cool. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening as always. And we will be back in 2 more weeks. And appreciate you guys listening as always. Feel free to like us, subscribe, and leave us any messages.
You could comment on Spotify now. I just saw them announce that. Yeah. So you can comment on the podcast now. So we'll see what happens there. I have not checked our TikTok in forever, but I like when I open it, it's I see like a lot of notifications. And I'm like, I almost don't even want to look at these comments.
Don't look at comments. I forgot my Instagram, my personal Instagram login. So I deleted it for a little bit and I was like, well, I'll figure this out when I have time. I'm sure
All right. Well, yeah, I think that's it. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. And much love to y'all.
Peace.